I see we have a new man, and his name is Hadley, right?
Hartley.
Hartley. Oh, Hartley. Sorry about that. And I don't...
Sue.
Sue. All right.
Sue.
Then, do you know that the name of this class is Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money?
I didn't.
Do you know... Do you know that this is a metaphysical teaching?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know what metaphysics is?
I'm familiar with Candace's class, and I don't know. I mean, I've come to several of her, so I'm assuming it's the same.
Well, it's the same. Everything's always the same, but I teach pure metaphysics. Not that she doesn't teach pure metaphysics, but... metaphysics just means beyond the physical. What we are doing is we are tapping into a power that we are all connected with, that we are all one with, so that we can find and discover a completely new way to go through life, one without the stress, struggle, and strain that other people go through with. That's just a learned habit, and you can change that habit. So that's what we do. It just means beyond. You had said at dinner that you thought it had something to do with spirituality. It can have something to do with spirituality, but it doesn't necessarily have to. It works with or without that idea. So if you stay, it'll just open up. You'll know what we're talking about. I just wanted to point that out to you. So many people... of course, have no idea what metaphysics is, and then when somebody starts to speak in metaphysical language, they run out the door. Because what I teach here is completely opposite of what you learned in the outside world. And the outside world is anything out there. It's your television, your radio, your churches. All that is the outside world, teaching you how to live. But they haven't done such a hot job of it. And I'll tell you a cute story of why they haven't done such a hot job of it. A friend called me last night that I've known also for years. He works at UCLA, in a research something or other. And he went on to tell me about his boss and how she's out to get him and this, that, and the other thing he can't take. And he's writing letters. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. I never said a word. Because he knows metaphysics, but he refuses to apply it. So I said, well, what do you think you're going to do? And this is what he said. And this is complete what we call race mind. He said, I called my doctor. I'm going to get a tranquilizer. Instead of applying this teaching to change that whole situation, you see, you are the one that's creating your reality. And you can change that reality anytime you want. We think that a reality is permanent. We think also that it's solid. And it's not. You can change a reality instantly. How do we do that? Does anyone know how we change a reality?
Change your mind?
Yes. All you do is shift your thinking. You change your mind. As soon as you change your mind, everything on the outside changes to match your mind. If it didn't do that, we would all go crazy. And that's all this teaching is. It's teaching you how to do that. And you do that little by little. Would you tell your story quickly that you told me earlier?
Sure. Actually, I have two. I was reading his little book here, The Mental Equivalent, and I write in my journal, and I was just sitting there writing, and I was writing about to the universe about the job that I want. And then I read the part where it says, don't just write it. You gotta have both polarities. You gotta feel it too. So I just fortunately, I just taken a Kundalini Yoga class, and I was just in touch with my feelings. And I just started, like, just feeling good, you know, just thinking about my job, putting, like, just my heart in it. And right then, like, seriously, right then, I get a call from my service. I do stuff. It's, like, my agent. And I got, like, I got a really good job. So it was just, it was really cool. And then I haven't, actually, I got, recently I've gotten two really good stunt jobs. And it's interesting because for a little while there, there's other things that I want to venture out into besides stunts, but I was like, oh, I'm not going to do stunts, you know, for a little while. And I hadn't gotten any jobs, you know, because I had done a stunt, I injured myself. But anyways, then I changed my mind. Bam, I'm like, because I love doing stunts. So now I say, well, I'm open to stunts. I'm doing these stunts, but I'm also open to other things too. And bam, the universe brought it to me. So it's like, I like that because it didn't say, you know what, you're not held accountable to everything. It's like you can also change it, and bam, you change it, and it brings you something too. So that's two huge examples that I have that really made a profound impact in my life.
And when you get an example like that, and when you're able to do something like that, then don't discount that. Know that that was your power that did that. That you did that, and you did that by using your feelings, and you caused the whole universe to come and back you up in those feelings and to produce the manifestation that you wanted. You did that by using your mind. That's the way it works. Make sense? Make sense? Okay. So, with that said, we'll begin as we always do, with spiritual mind treatment. And when I use the word, what's about time I see you, young lady? When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to affirm or reaffirm what the universe, or this thing we call God, already knows about us. I will do this in the first person. And all those that are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I know that I am one with the only power in the universe, and that power is a power for good. And I allow that power to course through my being, to course through my thinking. And I use that good to bring into my life all the wonderful things that I want. And I know that I am not only connected with that good, and that good is not only flowing through me, that I basically am good. At the very core of my being is goodness. And I use that goodness right here and right now to bring prosperity, abundance, and money into my life. And I let that be so, and so it is.
So it is.
Well, there you are.
We just materialized.
That's it.
Talk about money.
You thought of him
and he manifested. Right.
You weren't here last week when we talked about Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
I was telling them that in the South they talk about Amazing Grace all the time, and I always thought it was Wonder Woman's sister. But the reason why I bring that up is because that is complete race mind, Amazing Grace. Although that's a beautiful song, and I love Judy Collins who sang that song. And why I say it's race mind, because it continues, that saved a wretch like me. You people, and myself included, are not wretches. We are wonderful, marvelous human beings connected to this power that we call God. This thing that we call God is all that we are, but we are not all that it is. So you have to remember that. So when you're out there in the world, also tonight I heard over here in the restaurant, somebody singing, God watches us from a distance. Beautiful song I threw up on the table. That's a beautiful song. but there's not a word of truth in it. Why is there not a word of truth in that? God watches us from a distance.
Because there is no spot where God is not.
There's no distance. God is right here, right now. God is never watching from a distance. In fact, God is never watching. God is always being. You see, and we were taught that God is watching us, and if we do something bad, God knows it, writes it down in a little book. Well, the book you'd have on me would be about this big. I don't worry about that. Many people also think that God is sitting on the bedpost. God is not sitting on the bedpost.
God is the bedpost.
Yes.
One of my friends, as she was growing up and she was very young, she was afraid to be bad because God was watching.
Mm-hmm.
She took it literally.
Yes. And people take that literally and they think they're being watched. We are being taken care of. We are being loved. But we are not being watched. Does that make sense to you? So give up that idea if you think you can't do something because God is watching. God
is
not.
Watching is only for bad, not for good.
Oh, yes, of course. God never sees the good. No, only bad. So anyway, this is what we do, is we change that thinking. We change your thinking of what you were brought up with, what the world has told you. We gave a talk a couple weeks ago on, didn't I give that? On religion, I think, and where it is. Because I brought that up because many people don't realize, first of all Christian holidays are based on paganism. The Christian church took over all the holidays because they had to convert pagans. Now, we also in our memory can look back and see how Christianity developed from paganism, from all this. We can see that development. Do you think in 300 years from now there'll still be a Catholic church? I doubt that. It has to progress or crumble because it's archaic. And its thinking is archaic. And we're moving past that. And unless they catch up with us, there will be none.
Could I just let everyone know? I went to a Science of Mind. What's the church called? Is it
Agape?
No, what's it called? Religious Sciences Service. I can't even call it church because it's not like anything I've ever experienced. On Sunday, it was amazing. It was so beautiful. We meditated twice. They like show on these two screens that come down on the thing, you know, like sort of chanting sort of songs, just like I am love, I am, you know, God is a little. I mean, it was stuff that we do in here, and everybody's happy, and there's no guilt stuff, there's no shame. It's just the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced in my life.
I
highly recommend it at least once because you'll.
And that's what we're also trying to do, is take shame and guilt away so that you do not feel those things and let them run your life for you. I want to bring up something we had last week when John was talking, my friend John, some of the little things that he left out. When he was so concerned and so worried, he sold a place in Georgia, his house in Georgia. And it was a four-bedroom house, three bathrooms, I don't know of them. And so he moved here. But before he came, he asked me if I'd look around for something. And I found a condominium for him in Glendale, which he bought for $179,000.
Wow.
But it was only it was 600 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was used to all this room, so he kept telling me, I'm used to living larger, I'm used to doing this, I'm used to doing that. I said, John, this will take care of itself. Allow it to take care of itself. I forget what he sold, but I think he bought his home for $179,000 in Georgia. He only made $34,000 when he sold that home. He held this 600 square feet condominium in Glendale for 22 months. He sold it for $287,000. He made $112,000 in 22 months. So he came to me crying poor mouth. I told him to shut up. I told him it would take care of itself. He made more money on that little condominium than he did in the big house. Now he's taken that money and he's moving again to Chicago, and he bought a place already in Chicago, and he'll put that money down and his payments will be much less. But the point is, when the people who heard his story is, you see, all these things can be accomplished. You don't think of those like he thought, well, I'll never get anything for this. I'll never make any money on this. If I sold my big house and didn't make only $30,000, what am I going to do here? And he really thought that this time he had done himself in and that it was over. And I said, nonsense. You'll make money on this. You'll get everything you want. You'll get the job, which he got. He got everything he wanted again. Everything he wanted. So you have to remember those things, that you can have everything. So don't get discouraged and don't get into things. Use your technique.
Feelings,
which is Wesley's the one who knows about the warmth of feeling in Emmett Fox. Many people do not see that. That's why I say you have to read it over and over till finally it pops out at you what it's saying. Once you learn how to do this, very easy, very simple. There's nothing mysterious about this. People want to make this mysterious. They want to make it spiritual. They want to make it esoteric. They want to make it a lot of things. And a lot of people think if they learn this, they'll be superior to other people. You are never going to be superior to other people. We are all the same. We are all one in the same. It just looks like we're different. It just looks like we're different. Okay? Tonight's topic is the ego. We all have one. Even me. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because we talk about the ego. We say, oh, that's the ego. Oh, this is this other, blah, blah. Well, first of all, there's nothing wrong with having an ego. You would not be the person you are today and where you are today without the ego. But now it's time to look at the ego and see if it's giving you what you want. If it's not giving you what you want, now it's time for something else to take over. So you have to learn how to quiet the ego and how to notice when the ego is at work. Does anyone know what the main job of the ego is? It only has one job.
It's kind of to keep you, it's actually to warn you.
Pardon?
To kind of warn you, like don't go in that water, or don't be careful. No, okay, sorry.
That's cool.
Is it to keep itself alive?
Alive?
To keep itself alive.
Well, it always wants to keep itself alive, but that's not it either. I'll answer this after him.
It's to differentiate yourself from the rest of God and the universe. Somehow.
Well, yes, but I'll
to
say it this way.
Particularize yourself.
It wants to keep you separate. It wants you to believe that you're the only person feeling something, that you're the only person that's ever done that. It wants to instill shame and guilt in you all the time. It will never tell you that what you are doing is normal for you. You see, if you do something, you do not have to have 10 other people do it to make it right. It's right for you. But your ego mind will say, oh, you're the only one ever thought that. You're the only one. Oh, my, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. Now, I think some of that is going to go out because of the internet. Because now if you have anything, if you think you're the only person just type in there and some club will fly up and say, here, 100,000 people belong to this, you know, foot fetish or something, you know, what, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, it'll pop up. But the ego always wants to keep you separated from God. And it wants to keep you separated from each other. That's what the main function of the ego is. And that's what it does. That's the best job that it can do.
Why?
Well, that we don't know. If I knew that, you see, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be somewhere else. Because we're born into a conversation that's already going on. And when we're born blank. And we start picking up everything around us. And we absorb what we call race mind. Race mind means what the race is thinking, what the race is doing. The ego happens to be race mind. You see. Now, when I use the word race mind must and has to be incorporated in the mind of God. Otherwise, we'd have the mind of God and race mind. If we had the mind of God and race mind, what would we have?
Separation.
You can never have separation. A couple weeks ago I told you, if you could come to the point of seeing unity, seeing everything as one, abundance and prosperity and money will flow to you. It just will automatically flow to you. The reason why money doesn't flow to you, because you don't know that you're one with it. See, money's everywhere. The abundance is everywhere. It's always flowing and circulating. But you say it's not. So if you say it's not, then it doesn't. But it's always there. All you have to know that you're one with your money. You see. And why do most people think they're not one with money? Because we've been taught that only a few have the money. You see. That you can't have that money. Somebody else can have it, but you can't. These are all thoughts that go on. What the ego, by the way, produces. So if you hear that, you immediately stop that and you go to what? We go to what we call the truth, or to the mind of God. The mind of God only knows prosperity, it only knows abundance. And it knows exactly how to give you that. And it knows exactly how to loosen money for you and to come in to different channels so that all the channels are open. You opened up all the channels and decided, well, I can take it here, there, you know. Always don't say, I get my money from a job. You get your money from everywhere. You have to be open to all the channels because this thing that we call God is infinite. And as soon as you start to tell God or the universe, I get my money from my job, you've just stopped everything. You see. Now, because God will not argue with you. If you say, this is happening, God will say, yes, you're right, this is happening. We hear the expression, why does God let this happen? God doesn't let it happen. We let it happen. Does that help you any? We do it all. God's not doing very much. Sorry to tell you. But God is mighty. God is powerful. God is all wisdom. God is all intelligence. God knows exactly how to do something. God can do anything that we can't do. All things are possible.
So the things that Moses performed that he ascribed to God were things that he was effectuating through his consciousness and through the consciousness of the people around him?
Yes.
By suggesting that it was so, then it became so.
Yeah.
All right.
And on the ego, does the ego have any positive aspect.
No. Never. Except it kept you alive, and it'll get you through things, but not because the ego believes in the ego always believes in stress, struggle, strain, and sacrifice. And if you get anything through the ego, you can get things and you can make things work. You can make a ton of money using your ego, but you'll be completely stressed out and you'll be on tranquilizers.
You give the example of your friend in Glendale, and his he had to wait 22 months to sort of cash in, and it happened kind of instantaneously.
Yes.
Is there something to, sometimes I've noticed in my life sometimes I get what I need, but I don't always get it right away.
Yes. You don't get it right away because you don't believe you can get it right away. All manifestations, all miracles are instantaneous at the moment of belief, but it takes you a while to believe. So you have to work on your belief system always. But they're always, as soon as you believe and you had an aha experience with feeling and so forth, all of a sudden you believe, oh, this is true. And the phone rang.
That was the significant part about it. It's like, it wasn't just like, it was like a feeling it throughout my body, you know, just definitely feeling intensely, putting it into what I want to manifest. So I felt that was a significant part.
Now I'm going to give you some examples of how your ego works, and it's very clever and very sneaky. The 4th of July, I was invited to a bar mitzvah. Years ago, I had sold all my good clothes in a consignment shop. So I thought, well, I'll have to get a suit or something. Oh, I don't want to go shopping for that suit. Well, you have to go shopping anyway, Dale. So, well, I don't want to spend that much money. Well, who is this anyway? I don't even know this person. I know the grandmother or the kid that's getting married. Now, why should I spend this money and why should I go do all this just for this? I mean, honestly, and then my mind, this is all ego talk. Then it finally came down to this. Well, if Marilyn wouldn't have had children, this would have never happened. This is how your ego works. I was in Glendale, and a young Latino was walking across the street. I was behind him, and it was sort of in the shadows and so forth, and I thought I saw, now listen to this, a big tattoo on his arm. Now, the ego says, well, of course, a Latino has a big tattoo. They have to be macho. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't correct that stuff. You see what happens? So we got across the street into the sunlight. And hell, that guy had no tattoo on him whatsoever. You see how not only it gives you the wrong information, it lies to you. It completely lies to you. What happens is most people don't catch that. See, so they absolutely believe all Latinos have a tattoo because they want to be macho.
So that went on for you, the buying the suit thing, and all that chatter and all that stuff went on for you. Did you go underneath it, or did you just do something else? Did you look underneath it at all, or did you just get rid of the thinking?
Oh, no. I got to laughing as soon as I got over there and said, look what a fool you are, Dallas, to have listened to your mind. I'm the fool for listening to my mind. I know perfectly well my mind never tells me the truth. You know, it has never brought me any good news. Why would I think it would bring me good news now?
Right, but my question is you didn't look at the why as far as like what that was all about.
We never look at the whys. I'm never interested in the whys of life. I'm interested in the hows of life. You see, if you open up your mind to why, your mind will spit out for the next 300 years the whys. The why do I think that way? Because my mother potty trained me too early. Why? Because at high school this happened. Why? Because this happened. Why my father didn't like me. Ba ba da 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 da. It'll just come up with, but I'll never come up with the right why. Because there is no right why. Because you, can you see this in your own mind, how your mind works? This is another thing to remember about unity, and that we're all one. People say to me, how do you know that, Dallas, what I'm thinking? I have a mind. My mind works just like your mind works. That's how I know what people are thinking. You can't think differently, you see. But you can learn to see your ego, laugh at it, and tell it to go away. You don't need it. Thank you very much for bringing me this far in my life. Now I'll handle the rest of it myself. Now it'll kick its heels up because the ego hates you. The ego never wants you to find out who you are, because ego wants you to think that it is you. You understand that? You are not your ego. But your ego wants you to think that it is you. And you're not the ego. Once you understand that, you'll understand a lot of other little things along the way. The ego wants always to keep you from knowing who you are. It never wants you to realize who you are. It never wants you to realize that you're more than your ego. Everyone here knows that you're not your mind, do you not? Do you know you're not your mind? Do you know you're not your mind?
No, I do.
Your mind is just a computer that you're using. But the mind, which is the ego, wants to convince you that it is you. You're saying, you have to get over that idea that this is who you are.
Isn't it like when you're in confusion, it's the ego?
Yes. And the reason why we know that, because we happen to realize that there is no confusion in the mind of God. There is no confusion in the mind of God. Years ago, a metaphysician, it was a woman, I can't remember her name right now, when I say years ago, 18-something or other, stood up in a metaphysical meeting and said, oh, I know exactly when it was, hold on. It was during World War II. She stood up in front of a large congregation of metaphysicians, and she said, there is no war in the mind of God. There is no war in the mind of God. This war we're having now is not in the mind of God. It's in our mind. Now, you want to talk ego? That's how we got ourselves into this war. Remember, the president said, you tried to kill my daddy. And off it went. And now what does he say? I told you so. I told you they were bad people. I told you the terrorists were there. Terrorists weren't there until he did that, but now they are. But see, he's going to rectify that. When you're trying to rectify anything, justify anything, it's the ego protecting itself. The ego is always right. That's how we get into trouble. In the Course in Miracles, what are the two choices they give you?
Love and fear.
Well, that's two choices, but that's two things. The two emotions that you have are love or fear. The two choices. Right. The two choices are, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And you see, the ego will choose right. Where if you use your other part of your mind, if we call it the spiritual part, the God part of your mind, it will want you to be happy. And it will want you to feel joy all the time. The ego never wants you to feel joy. and it never wants you to feel pleasure. The ego is absolutely afraid of pleasure. If you have too much pleasure, the ego goes absolutely wild. And we're taught that as children, aren't we? How many times that I remember my parents saying, "You've had enough fun for the day." Where does this come from? How do they know it's enough, you know? So we think, you know, you can't have too much pleasure. You had enough pleasure for the day. You can have pleasure all day long, 24 hours a day, for the rest of your life. But we give that up because the world tells you you can't have too much pleasure. There's something wrong with you. You're going to go down the slippy slope to hell, you know, because pleasure, people are absolutely afraid of pleasure. Their mind tells them, the ego mind tells you, that's too much, you can't have that, you know. But you can. You can have pleasure all the time. This thing we call God that happened to create us, even though, well, shouldn't get into that. Well, I will say that part. Even though we are the ones who decided to incarnate on this planet, God created us. But not at that moment of conception. Try to back into this easily. Just keep following me. Not at the moment of conception. There is no beginning and there is no end. Everything always was. Everything always is. You were always a divine idea in the mind of God. Just because two people on earth decided, well, we're going to have a child, God doesn't say, okay, that, now I'll make a child. You've already been made. Am I making clear? Are you following me? There is no beginning. There is no end, people. It's always there. And that's what we say about this thing called God. There is no beginning and no end. Do you think God was born at one time? Or do you think God will die? No, I think there was that big movement, wasn't there, when God was dead? Nietzsche or somebody like that. But it's not true. God isn't here. So the other thing that we're always trying to do is expand your thinking on what you thought before. You have to... Oh, I saw a wonderful thing today. Let me see if I can remember it. With all your doubts, doubt your limitations. Isn't that wonderful? With all your doubts, doubt your limitations. And we don't doubt our limitations, do we? Because the ego mind, what does the ego mind tell you? You can't do that. You're not tall enough. You're too tall. It will always tell you you can't do something. This thing that we call God or good or the universe always says, yes, you can do it. Go for it and I will help you. I use the word I there. I hope you realize that I'm not talking about a human being. And I'm not talking about a God who has arms, legs, and sits in a cloud somewhere. The God that I am talking about is an energy. Is an energy. Is a being that we cannot describe. God is always beyond thoughts and words. Anytime you try to describe God, you have limited God. Anytime you try to describe yourself, you have limited yourself by describing yourself with limitations. Also in the Course in Miracles, it says, argue your limitations and they will be yours. Argue your limitations and they will be yours. And we do that all the time because, well, you don't know. You just don't know. This is the way I am. Mm-hmm. How many people, I can't change. I can't do that. I'm missing 1 foot. I don't know. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There are no limitations in the mind of God. What you want in life, if you see clearly what you want in life and exactly what you want in life, and get that feeling and realize that it's already done, you will manifest that.
Dallas, I had a laugh at a friend of mine who's a wonderful therapist, and she worries. I said, you worry too much. She says, I can't change. And I thought, if you come here, you learn to can't change.
Yes, and you'll learn not to worry. Worry is a habit.
It's so interesting, the difference in thinking and how you pick up all these things with other people.
Oh, yes, and that's you and your decoder ring. Mm-hmm. You just go around with your ring and you can decode all these people when you listen to them. Like, that hit me tonight right away when I heard God at a distance, you know. God's watching you at a distance. As I say, beautiful song, but the wrong message. But we are constantly receiving the wrong messages. That's why I always suggest that people stay with people of like mind. When I have something that I want to manifest, I never talk about it to anyone. If I have an illness, I never talk about it to anyone. Why?
Because that makes it real.
Well, not only makes it real, they'll start to tell me, well, you can't do that, you can't get that. Oh, my friend died of that.
Awfulizing. It gets awfulized.
Yes. You know, so you don't do that. And you can't do, after a while, you cannot have the conversations you used to have. You can have better conversations. You can have conversations that are meaningful. Most of the things that we say are absolute twaddle. We don't, you know... just horrible what we, you know, just to keep our mouth clapping all the time, we say anything that comes along. And none of it's true. You know, when you really get there, don't you have to laugh at yourself? You go, oh, what did I say? You know, that's ridiculous. Now, this teaching also will not take the fun out of life. It'll put more fun into life. Because you'll see it and understand it. There, you're shaking your head. What? You have an example of how it brings more to you?
Oh, I'm just having such a much better time for everything. And yeah, but I can share another kind of manifestation too that just recently happened. But I saw there's a project going on and they're looking for 2 men for the project. No women, no nothing. And I just wrote to them, and because it would have been a fun project. You know, it's like a really fun thing. And I just said, can I be any part of this at all? And they called me this week and said, we want you on board. And it's not paying a lot, but it's just about, it's the concept of fun and doing it for fun. And they weren't looking for, like, me. You know what I mean? It was, anyway, it was cool. Yeah, it's cool. And, of course, my mind is coming into it saying, well, this isn't enough money. You know, just completely the opposite of where I was coming from when
yes.
I initially manifested it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's fear and undeserving, or what is that?
Well, it's an old habit, too. Now, you see how wonderful it was? And she thought, boy, I'm on the right track here. I manifested this new job, and I'm doing it just for fun and everything. Boy, this is great. I must be coming from my spiritual side. Then you get the job, and your mind immediately tells you, you're nuts, you're not getting paid. Like,
Sarah. Yeah. But they are. There's, like, wonderful things, and they're putting it in a hotel and all this stuff. And I'm just like, it's not enough. It's 4 whole days, and it's,
so
it's more than enough.
What you want to do is sit down and be completely grateful for that and fill yourself with joy. If you're able to do that, which you are, these people are going to probably come to you and say, listen, you've done such a great job. Here's lots of cash. We want you for the next one. We're going to pay even more. It has to work that way, people. It has to work that way. Otherwise, why would we be here? Why would I teach this if it didn't work? Wouldn't I be sort of a, what, charlatan or something? But I've seen it work too many times, and I have worked it too many times. And once you get the hang of it, it's, well, do you do parking spots?
Parking spots?
Yeah, can you manifest a parking spot?
It's happened recently.
Well, when it happened, of course you weren't in this class, what did you think?
I believed that I did manifest.
All right, so you must believe that every time. And the way you believe that is to know that there's always a place for you in the universe. You're never crowded out by anything else. God would not create you and then crowd you out and say you can't have something. So, now I'm going to explain this. So, when you're coming into a parking lot, you have to know right away, even when you leave home. When I leave home, I immediately start the whole process, and I know. So somebody was at my house this week and said, oh my goodness, Dallas, this is Hollywood, there was a parking space out front. I said, yeah, I know.
I know the spot, actually. I parked there myself.
So you're providing them for others as well as you.
Oh, yeah, I can do that. But you weren't the one. You learned that there's always a place for you in the universe, and you manifested the concert tickets and all that, didn't you? Or is that somebody else that came here?
Well, I did, but it was also Jonathan did that, but it is, yeah, that's right. I wanted to go to a show, and I didn't have anything, and then I just really kept believing and really kept believing. And I'm talking about free tickets, backstage, you know, just putting it out there in a positive way. Yeah, it's true, like 2 days before and stuff right. just came. And I had bought a tent. You know, I bought it because it was a camping thing. So I had, like, made my place there, whether I had the tickets or not. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's faith. It's all faith. It's all faith.
It's done on faith. Your faith has made you whole. It's done with faith.
I saw a card. I almost brought you one. And I just wasn't sure, but it says, it's beautiful, and it says, sometimes the only available transportation is a leap of faith.
Do it. It works every time. We're just skeptical because the world tells us it isn't. You know, it's like all these people go to church and can't do a damn thing. What's the sense of going to church if you can't make it work for you? You see, there's no sense to have a God if God can't help you. If God's just sitting there watching you and saying, you did that wrong, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. What kind of a God would that be? Who would want to worship a God like that? By the way, I said this and I'll say it again. God does not need worship. God is far removed from worship. I need worship.
Egos need worship.
Yes. God does not need worship. So that's another thing that eventually the church will discover that. What you are doing, what we are doing, is aligning ourselves with a power that's already there. We believe in... Does anyone remember the four basic powers that we have here, or forces, I guess they're called, the strong force, the weak force, the weak force, gravity,
forces,
gravity,
electromagnetism, and gravity.
Gravity, yes.
And then the
four.
Fifth one, consciousness, which is like the newest.
The new one, which is going to eventually encompass them all. Mm-hmm. So we believe.
So what are they again?
Weak and strong nuclear forces, electromagnetism, and gravity.
Yeah. They are the forces that we're working with. This is a force that we're working with. We believe in gravity, do we not? So why don't you believe in this? No one can say they don't believe in gravity, do you think? Maybe, what, an aborigine or somebody who's never heard the word. But gravity exists. Gravity always existed, didn't it? Long before the apple hit Newton on the head. gravity was there. Aerodynamics, the laws of aerodynamics were there long before people discovered them. That's all we're ever doing, is discovering things that are already here. Everything is already here. Everything is already done. When to bring that back in again. When I say everything is already done, everything is already done in the mind of God. When you say you want something, it's done. It's already done. It's been there waiting for you. You see. That's why we have the expression, God answers your prayer before you even speak. It's already done. So now that you know that it's already done, it's hovering, say, here, all you have to do is bring it into this plane of action. And you can visualize a plane above us called the causal plane. And you want to manifest something, all you do is make a hole in the causal plane and allow that object to drop down onto this plane. You can do that visually. You know that it's already done. Now all you do is take it from the causal plane to this plane. So just visualize a hole and it'll drop down to you. Takes 37 seconds to do that. Don't ask how. 37 seconds,
why
they call
that,
it.
Why that long? I mean, just what?
I know, I'm always amazed at how people come up with these things. But that, it's called the 30. It's called the 37 seconds.
I've only gone for 36.
Right. It's called the 37 second technique. So.
Does that mean you have to do this for 37 seconds?
It means that's how quickly you can do it. You see. You don't have to any of these things. I was thinking tonight, well, if you ever notice when I do a spiritual mind treatment, I will plant my 2 feet on the floor. But I never turn my palms up. I keep them this way. Now, some people would say, but then it's not working. You're not getting. How many people say, well, this is the one I love? Because the hands are up, things are supposed to drop in. You know, you're manifesting something. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You know, but people have all these ritual and all these ceremonies and all these things to go through, thinking, now if that brings you to that moment of belief, please do it. But I'm telling you that it's not necessary to do all that. You know, you don't have to have your nostrils stuffed with incense, you know. Do you ever go into a cathedral and they have all that incense going? You know, you could get black lung in there. So thick with smoke. But if that clicks something within you, then do it. You know, then do it. So you can make up your own systems. Make up anything you want. If you manifest better standing on your head, then stand on your head. So you have to tailor all this to what you want and what you're doing. You tailor it to your own self. But what you have to realize is that the power is already there. The power wants to do something for you. And what you're asking for is already done. That's all you need to know. And then you hold that when the world tells you no. Next week, the money didn't come. This didn't come. One more thing on money, since this is a class on money, abundance and prosperity. Never allow your mind to say, it's the money. Money is never the issue. Money is never the issue. You will make it the issue, but it's never the issue. Look somewhere else. Don't do that to yourself. If you want money, if you want abundance and prosperity, do not make money the issue. Enjoy the money that you have. When you spend it, enjoy it. You know, get excited. Buy something nice for yourself. Do anything, but enjoy that. Because when you enjoy spending money, you'll discover all of a sudden that it comes right back to you. Comes right back to you. But if you begrudge putting that money out there, it's not going to come back to you.
That's where the ego comes in.
Yes, the ego who tells you there's not enough.
Mm. Or that tells me I'm wrong to have spent it on frivolous things that I like.
See, instead of having joy and saying,
should have.
Right.
I don't know the value of money.
Yeah. Well, now that's from your parents or someplace.
No.
That's absolute. I know it's an absolute parental voice. I can hear it.
Oh, yeah.
We want to get rid of those voices and that parental thing. If you buy something, buy it. Then don't punish yourself for that. Otherwise, are you going to make any more money and keep punishing yourself? That'd be sort of stupid, wouldn't it?
Well, I found it also made me anxious when I had money. You know, like, oh, I better get rid of this because I won't use it well.
So. Isn't that a nice one? So we have, you know, so you get rid of those. And remember Jeff, he wasn't going to make money because he didn't want to pay the taxes. You see, we have all these crazy things that we don't know, and then we say, I wonder why I don't have money, I wonder why I'm not. And then all of a sudden, you don't have it because this ego mind is telling you all kinds of garbage and junk all the time. Always doing that to you. So you cannot trust the ego. You have to trust this power, this thing within us that we call God. And you have to be able to hear that small voice in you. You have to take responsibility for your own thinking and realize that you can stop that. The ego mind wants to tell you that you're no good with money. And you start to believe that because, of course, you're no good with money. Look, I bought that and I didn't need it. Now look at this and this and this. Because it's out to prove. Your ego mind will always prove that it's right. So we change that with our affirmations. How many people are doing the money affirmations still?
What is the money affirmation?
Oh, it's a money new, it's a newcomer. Should we tell?
Gotta come back next week.
Has he been hazed properly?
Money affirmation. Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. All my bills are paid on or before time. That's just two, but there are many that I can give you. I enjoy spending money, and when I spend money, money comes back to me. That's it. You have to change your mind about that, and then your reality will change.
Sorry, I was talking to my mom on the phone and she said to me, we're talking about money or something, and I said, she said something about spending, and I said, well, it's all right, the more money I spend, the more money I get, and you can hear on the other line going, oh, I don't know about that, just negative, right.
Oh, yeah, it's all negative. Do you know I talk about Aunt Catherine, who's going to turn 93 August the 16th?
Where's the party?
I'll go visit her in September. And I said, well, what do you want for your birthday? Now, don't get me anything, Dallas. I don't need anything. I said, oh, you have to think of something. No, she couldn't. I said, okay, I'll think of something. And I have her saying, and she says, I pound my fist on the counter, Dallas. And she goes, money, money, money. Because I have her say money, money, money all the time. So I bought her a handbag. It's about that long, I remember then. So I thought, wow, what could I stuff this with? So I got 100 $1 bills, and I crumpled them. Mm-hmm. So that when she opens the package, this money's going to fly out. But use that in your own life as a visual. See, once she opens out on her own and sees that her purse is filled with money, she can immediately say, my purse is always filled with money. My purse is overflowing with money. My cup is overflowing. The abundance is here, pressed down and overflowing. Use that as your own visual. Use that as your own visual. Gee, we have to do that type of thing. Now, of course, I will tell you, my ego says, oh, Dallas, don't be doing that. She said not to send her anything. And then I said, well, I think I had that idea. I thought, oh, I could do money. And then my ego says, you don't want to spend all that money. Right. You know, you can't listen to it. You see, if I had listened to my ego, I would have taken the joy that I was having out of thinking this up and doing this, and I would have taken the joy that she's going to receive from it. So now there's all that joy, and that one, that $100 will be back in my pocket before I know it.
Because you also have a really tremendous visual of
doing it,
being able to do this.
Yes,
and it's not the money; it's the joy.
Mm-hmm. It's the joy. I was just, you know, I got excited. I thought, oh, this is fun, you know. But the funniest thing was I went to the bank to get the money. Where else does one go? And I said, I want 100 $1 bills. And the woman said, what do you have an account here? they didn't want to give me the one. I guess they're not used to people asking for $101 bills. Well, I got the money anyway.
Next time, ask for $1,000.
Yes, see what they can do about it. But do this. See, get joy going. Now, it's just me telling that story. Didn't it fill you with joy and excitement? Mm-hmm. Now, that's what we talk about when we talk about warmth of feelings. You see, you have to get your feelings moving. And you get a warmth of feeling this way. And what all did that do for me? It not only gave me joy, it not only give her joy. I have a visual now for a bag filled with money. So it's a prosperity thing for me also. It'll help me in the long run. And now it'll help you people. So you see, all that stuff, it's all worth it doing stuff like that. And it's wonderful. And so are you people. And so am I. There ends the lesson. Thank you.
Well, Andy's not here, so I have an announcement. The basket on the table, so you feel free to make it overflow with money.
Pardon?
Come here, come money. Yes, from some place, but where? Sounds familiar, but I don't know.
I am not worshiping at your feet.